Hello, and welcome to The Naked Artist, a podcast about exposing yourself, creatively speaking.
Okay. So, thank you for joining us. I'm Tammy Ressler.
I'm Jess.
I'm Meredith.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I should have sung mine, but I didn't. So today we're going to talk about trusting the process and what that means as far as like living your life and being an artist and being an entrepreneur and just keeping working through things. So what it means to me, like trusting the process when I think about it, like I always tell my students when they're struggling with they're trying to draw something or they're trying to make something or they're on the wheel and they're ready to start throwing blobs of clay across the room. Actually, that's just me. But when they're doing that stuff, like just trust the process. Just keep going. Mm-hmm. Keep charging mm-hmm. forward. Mm-hmm. And then when I was thinking about this topic, I was thinking about all the things that I like say to myself, all my kind of my happy talk, as mm-hmm. they say in, you know, mass communications.
I think that's called mental illness.
But. Well, it is. That is a happy offshoot. Talk. Yes, the happy talk. But like I think about all the things that like with Eleanor Roosevelt, you know, you must do the thing you think you cannot do. Mm-hmm. And I say that to myself a lot, actually, because I feel like a lot of times I'm trying to do things that I just don't feel like I can do. So I'm like, if Eleanor Roosevelt thought I could do it, then I can possibly do it. So
she's got your back.
She's got me. She knows how I am.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I think about and how I like try and keep going. And when I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do next, or I'm in the middle of doing something and it isn't going well, I just keep like, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt or Yoda. There is no try, only do.
Yes, yes.
You know, these things are like right in my brain because I say them all the time.
I have those too. I have a little post-it note on my computer and it says, do it despite, just because I'm always like saying, I can't do it because of this, or, you know, I'm not feeling it today, or da 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 da. Just like, just put your body in motion. There's another one that's I love. It's don't scare the fish away, which is kind of like fish are this. David Lynch said this. It's like they're the creativity. They're your ideas. They're your thoughts. But they're very kind of fragile in their infancy. And you could don't scare them away. Don't just allow them to come in and, you know, introduce themselves. And I always kind of think of that as well as a way to like keep going, you know, if I feel blocked.
You guys have these like really serious like grown-up thoughts about this, and I'm just picturing like the freeze-dried hamster from the Quiznos commercials with the superimposed mouth.
And what happened?
What?
I'm a little confused.
How did they get there and they decided to market?
They didn't scare the fish away.
Yeah, they
or
didn't
the
scare
hamsters.
The fish away. Yeah, so
the freeze-dried
hamster. Yeah, had to be there. It was a 90s thing.
Like I wasn't in the 90s. I'm going to have to write this down.
The most unappetizing image they could use for food I could ever imagine.
And I'm going to look this up later.
I'm still talking about it, so it was successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of like you're holding a book that's pretty serious. An
it's
artist
very
guide to
serious.
Letting go. But, yeah, I think we all approach it differently. Mm-hmm. So yours is more kind of. Maybe
mine is a shit show. I just throw stuff around and hope it lands.
I was actually surprised at the pile of books that you presented to me.
Yes, yeah. I went on a book buying binge. BBB.
And my immediate thought was, when are you going to have time to read all of these books?
But I just placed my hand upon them and the knowledge. Yeah,
that's how
I got.
How's that working out for you?
I mean, I own two businesses, run a nonprofit. And
true
have a
enough.
Blog, or
true
a,
enough.
What is this called? A podcast. Uh-huh. So, I mean, it's going pretty well.
But did you finish this one?
I don't make any money doing any of it, though.
Yeah. Well, that's not
so
the important thing.
So that's where I'm at. That's the next level for me. Mm-hmm.
That's
the process.
The process will lead you to riches.
Please get me to that part. Funny side note. I was once, I had my first business, Ooh La La, I took that over. And when they were having the Christmas party, maybe I already told the story, the previous owner gave all the employees like this gift of a psychic reading like a parting gift because I was taking over the business. Mm-hmm. And so it comes my turn to get in the room. Everybody comes out. They're all these high school kids and they're like, oh, I'm going to run a museum. I'm going to have the career of my dreams. I'm marrying rich. I'm going to move somewhere exotic. I get in there and she's like, you're going to have to work really, really hard. And that has always been the mantra when shit or stuff gets really hard. When everything gets tough, I just hear her voice. You're just going to have to work really, really hard.
Did you pay her in advance?
I didn't pay her at all.
Oh, good.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I wonder what it is about me that she was like, you just need to like learn.
Like,
here's
some it's going to be rough.
Yeah. This is but not going to be easy.
Boy, you know when the free psychic tells you it's going to be rough, it is
right?
Rough.
I mean, what did she have to lose by being
true.
Honest?
True. Good point.
She wasn't wrong.
Right. You know, see, I went when I was in India. So it was New Year's Eve and they hired a psychic to like do psychic stuff for everybody. And the woman that I went to India with, they did her thing and they were like, you know, oh, you're going to change your jobs and you're going to like live to be 80 and you're going to get married and blah, blah, blah. And to be honest, I don't even remember what he said to me because I was like so busy thinking about like what he had just said to her. Uh-huh. When he was talking to me, I was still like, she's going to get married? That seems unlikely.
That is not going to happen.
She's kind of unpleasant. So yeah. I don't know. But no, I should say that. But no, it was just one of those like moments where I was like, you just thinking, oh, okay, is this really gonna like, does this happen, does this really, is any of this gonna come true, is this, but you know.
And staying on the psychic thing, Meredith and I went and saw,
oh yeah, we've seen psychics more than once.
Did you do that recently?
No, we've done this twice but years ago.
But very impactful,
very. And so we sat in each other's readings because that's what you do when you're best friends.
Yeah.
Did I go first?
I think you went first.
And I had a coliseum of fans. So yeah. So that fans? Was obviously just like.
You had a what?
She said you had like a theater of people like sitting there watching.
Like cheering you on and watching you. Yeah. And then Meredith was like, you have these tentacles coming out of your head and they're going in every direction possible.
Which, yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
She's like, you need to land, really girl.
I know.
So yeah, interesting. I thought that was kind of cool and a fun way to kind of reframe the way things could be going in your process.
Hmm. I feel like now I need to go see a psychic.
Yeah. I think we should bring a psychic on.
Oh, man. We should totally bring a psychic on.
Change
the whole dynamic of everything. Yes. So anyways, so speaking of psychics.
This
you have
whole
a book
topic
that I haven't read yet, so I'm just intuiting what it might be about. But you had a couple of things that you had underlined in there that kind of resonated with you.
Yes, and so just to kind of move us forward, huh?
And again, this Trust the Process is the name of this book,
yes.
The Artist's Guide to Letting Go.
And so I found a line that I thought was kind of interesting for the whole concept of our podcast with the artist vulnerability and whatnot. Uh-huh. And said, there's a pervasive sense in our culture that the creative expression is restricted to an anointed group. And so I think that can be two things. I think the outside world could think they are the outside world and not participate because that's not meant for them, right? Art is for, you know, people that have creative thought or whatever. You know, anybody can be an artist, but people maybe separate themselves from it for that reason. And then also as a person doing the art, you can think, you know, there's like a group of people that do this for real. And then I'm just like over here pretending.
That's the imposter syndrome.
The imposter syndrome.
That is not me. I'm not doing that. Yeah, it's funny because like the first thing that you said, say that again.
That the outside world can kind of look in and see themselves as like that's a thing that artists do.
Yeah. So that's one of the things like with when I was talking about like when I talk to students about you have to trust the process and you have to keep going is when people say, you know what? I'm just not creative, or, oh, I just can't paint, or I just can't whatever. And like literally, if you think you can't, you can't.
You won't do it.
Yeah. Didn't you have a funny story about a student that was like being kind of a twerp about it?
Like, oh my God. Like
you were telling me a story and I was like crying laughing because you had something funny to say. I don't know. Anyway, sorry about that randomness.
I have a lot of funny stories about my students, but yeah, the kids are interesting because the kids are okay, I shouldn't say better than, but kids are sometimes better than adults because kids, you can tell them to
they're
just keep
moldable.
Trying. Keep going. Keep yeah. doing. Whereas adults tend to be like, yeah, when I was 12, I tried to draw and I wasn't any good at it. So, mm-hmm. and then they're like, never do it again. And you're like, dude, mm-hmm. That's not how this works. Mm-hmm. That's not how any of this yeah. works. You just have to keep doing the things. Yeah. And mm-hmm. eventually you'll get better at it because life isn't about talent. It's about practice, mm-hmm. right? So if you just keep doing the thing, you'll get better at the thing, whatever mm-hmm. it is.
Right. It doesn't have to be art. It can be.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be jogging.
So another.
That ship has sailed for me, but I can't. I don't have a talent ships? For jogging.
Me neither.
I used to really like jogging.
That's disgusting.
Rude.
Okay. So the process, trusting the process, I have kind of a anecdotal story.
Okay.
Good. That's more, I don't know if this falls into trust the process, but Meredith and I collaborated on one of her songs. We didn't collaborate on the song, but I created a piece of art based on the lyrics and sound of her song, the mood that it gave me. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening to the song and I'm, it's called Here Lies the Heart. Mm-hmm. And we'll play a little snippet of it so that people can kind of get the vibe of the song. Mm-hmm. And think about like where it takes you just for a sec, because I think this is interesting. So for me, when I heard this song, I got this very like natural, like earthy, woodsy, trees, roots, flowers, like just kind of spring to the forefront. And so I did a pendant that was like an anatomical heart, but all of the like veins in the heart were roots from flowers. There was like, instead of the, what are those bigger veins called? The arteries.
Aorta.
You know, like the arteries, like instead of squirting up blood, they were squirting up flowers.
Wow.
And so yeah. it's this kind of like, why do you have to look at your face?
Do I? Wait, let me rearrange my
face. Not everybody's a fan. It's fine.
No, I'm not.
Tammy, rearrange your face.
Could you fix your face?
I get that a lot, actually. No, I haven't seen it, so this face is not related to your
okay,
piece
well,
of
next time you're in the
jewelry.
Gallery, I'll show you, because I just found it.
All right. I was just, the whole squirting of blood into flowers was turning into a thing on my face.
I think it's beautiful. Fine. Anyway, okay. So I went this very, like, botanical direction with my creation. Mm-hmm. At the same time that I'm doing this, and completely unrelated or uncommunicated to me is a Carleton student mm-hmm. who's taken the song Here Lies the Heart and is making a stop motion video for the song. And so they're like, oh, come see, you know, what she's made. And they play the song. And I wish that this could be online so people could see it because it's really cool. She did these paper cuttings of an anatomical heart mm-hmm. that's beating. And then like the roots of trees like start like moving mm-hmm. through the mm-hmm. image and start kind of taking over and it becomes this tree and it's just got this very botanical. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that is so cool.
Yeah.
That we came to kind of the same place into totally mm-hmm. different mediums off mm-hmm. the same song. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how that really relates to the process, but creativity goes, you can take the same thing for inspiration and go in completely different directions. Mm-hmm. You know, the process is different for everybody. Mm-hmm. The result is different for everybody. And I just thought that was kind of magical.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's like, for me, that sparks like so many different things. It's a wide conversation, but like what you're tapping into, I think, is kind of like the song, what the song was for me when I wrote it and how you translated and how the Hannah White was the girl who did the stop motion film and how she's translating it and the connections between all the three and then the differences and the different interpretations. And
what was your intended aesthetic when
so
you...
I think, well, part of it is, so the first lyric is, here lies the heart inside the dresser drawer. It's greasy, rotten, and red with all the words that she once said. So maybe on some level, you both were kind of tapping into those words of like the anatomical
piece of it,
but also, you know, kind of the symbolic piece too. Mm. And I think on another layer with the music, it is very, to me, how do I say, organic.
It is.
Like, it does feel like it's kind of growing out of something.
Yeah.
You know?
And like leaves brushing mm-hmm, up against mm-hmm, each other. Mm-hmm. Like,
So
I just see twigs blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. But that, so like, that's an example of like you kind of, you're kind of reflecting on your process and Hannah's process and my process and
we should put how the video all tapped up on your website.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll put I can put portions of it
That's
up.
A good idea.
Yeah. So, yeah. So
and that
yeah.
website would be?
Oh, withoutapilot.com. Yes. I feel just like I've said it like 800 times on this
shameless
show.
Shameless self-promotion constantly. But, you know, it ties in well. Yeah. And I think it would be really cool for people to see it. We should put a picture of my...
Yeah, well, your piece and how it all came together.
You can all
yeah.
just kind of get into it with us a little bit and tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always think those kinds of collaborations are so interesting. One of the things I've always really liked to do was like when you have like writing prompts or artist prompts or things like that where it's like, do this thing in this style. So years and years ago, back in like, oh my gosh, like 2007 or something like that, the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault had a thing called Shoe Stories. And it was like the theme was shoe stories. And then they invited all these artists to create something that had to do with shoes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So all these different artists and all these different mediums submitted pieces. Like I did a batik. Marv did a wood carving and there was like fabric pieces and all this other stuff. And then they got this, a teacher from Mankato, James Tanner, I think was his name. He came and he judged the show and there were 60 people and they all had like this one thing, this shoes. It just had to do something to do with shoes. And I did. So my piece, my batik had to do with when I was a kid, when I was like five. I used to go to my grandpa's house all the time and he had, and I, you know how you do that, like step on a crack and break your brother's back or whatever that saying is. So they had this rug and it had all these little lines and I used to kind of jump across it. So in my batik, it had like this rug with this area rug and then the recliner that was in their living room and then this pair of slippers next to the recliner. Anyway, so that was my piece. And I won first place. Thank you very much.
Nice job.
And Marv had like a guy carrying a sign that said something about shoes and he used shoe lasts. And so he carved a guy.
Last.
Like, you know, the things that they make shoes on top of? Like a cobbler makes a shoe to fit over a wooden form for a shoe.
Yeah.
That's a shoe last. Anyway, so he had those as the feet, and then he carved this guy, and he got second place.
Ooh.
Right?
Power couple.
Yeah, so I actually had my first place, my blue ribbon. I used to hang it out of my glove compartment. So when I was driving and he was sitting in the passenger seat, the blue ribbon was hanging in front of him.
That's awesome.
Years, for years, I had that thing hanging out of my glove compartment. Because literally, I never win anything, and Mark always wins everything.
Uh-huh.
So, like, it was good for him to see the blue ribbon.
Step him down a notch, maybe.
Just take him down
a notch.
Just
a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I have a collaboration I want to do with you.
Yeah.
Like you do your bodies.
Oh, the bodies.
She does these bodies. I want you to do them, and then I want to be able to hang pieces of jewelry on them.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then we can put them on
the
wall.
That would be good.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I can do that. Yeah, I want to make a whole bunch of big bodies just because I feel like it's
torsos.
One of the things. Yeah, the torsos. That's one of the things I have to be careful when I'm like, oh, I've got a bunch of bodies in the kiln today. You know, I sound very macabre. But no, it's one of the things I actually want to do that because like with all of the things that I've been doing lately, I'm wiggling my fingers because like my fingers, I'm having problems with my fingers as I have mentioned.
Oh, I thought you were just making a point.
She's sprinkling fairy dust all over everything. It's a magical moment.
So my middle finger on my left hand, which is good to show people my middle finger on my left hand and just take a moment, raise your middle fingers on your left hand. That is the one. And then my thumb on my right hand. So I like to, you know, show people the thumbs up and then the middle finger to show them what is the problem in my life. It's very confusing.
There's a depth there. There's a lot going on.
It's pretty much
there.
My entire personality in a nutshell. Middle finger, thumbs up. Enjoy. So, yeah. But no, I'm thinking the bodies are like one of the things I can do that's like a longer
Well,
process.
Good, because I want to collaborate with you on it.
Okay,
now.
We're going to collaborate on bodies. So anybody who wants to make bodies, we are now opening the doors for our next project.
When I was doing that collaboration with Meredith, I laid her out and tried to take a mold of her back. So
because You did it.
She loved everything. It ended up looking like something out of like the Beetlejuice movie. You know, the woman, she's just awful artist and she makes
those
weird,
like structures.
I have to watch like that's yeah. kind of yeah, what yeah, it yeah, turned out good. Looking yeah. like. It was just this weird like piece of her back on a pole. And then I put this piece of jewelry on it.
I'm just going to have to trust the process. We were trusting the process on that. So just as an aside here, you made a mold of Meredith's back.
I did.
Yeah, no reason.
What?
Plaster.
No reason.
Did you just pour plaster
kind
on her
of, yeah.
body?
That was sort of...
I can't quite remember.
I think I tried to make like a moat like, or something to hold it into a shape on her back. Like
with, I can't remember. I honestly...
I just remember she was like, do we have to keep doing this?
I've done so much crap for the art. I've been buried in the dirt.
Yes, I was going to say
I've been in a stream for hours. Got a little infection.
Wow.
She drowned herself
in the lake.
Yes.
I did see a video of that.
Yeah. So just saying, that's part of the process is suffering for the process, suffering through the process.
Well, I think the process is not so much a list of like A, B, C, D, E. It's just kind of you start
and you feel.
And then it kind of takes on, it takes on a life of its own and you kind of follow. And I will have a plan, a very solid plan. And that's the greatest way to screw up a project for me is to have a plan because as soon as it doesn't follow the path of my plan, I get stuck.
Mm. Yeah.
So what I've had to do is be like any mistake or, you know, thing that happens that doesn't work out the way I had kind of anticipated, well, take that as a design element.
Yeah.
Yes. And then change directions on your piece.
I think Bob Ross called those happy accidents, they're amazing. They're amazing.
My daughter was a happy accident.
Oh.
A happy little bird.
So you don't necessarily have to hold so tightly to any particular thing for this elusive process. But I do think that it's a really great way to, I think, live your whole life.
Yeah.
Maybe a little irresponsible at times to live that way. But
I think it's important to let go. I think because if we hold on so tight, then
T-shirts have been made about it for decades.
Live and let go. No, but you know, if you hold on so tight, you don't let, you scare the fish away. You don't let the good things, the magic. There's something called that beginner's mind, which is really interesting to me, but it is like part of that is the magic of like not exactly knowing where you're going, like starting something, like starting writing a new song and kind of capturing it in that space when it's brand new to you. So it's still very exciting and there's still a lot of energy there, even though you don't know where you're going. And a lot of the times, so, you know, if we're recording and I do a song 1,000 times over, I'm beating a dead song by the time.
You'll have to make it sound like you are singing it for the first time.
Yeah. But so a lot of the times, the first, second, third, fourth take, those are the magical ones, even though they have
mistakes.
They've got like a humanity and they've got an energy and an excitement to them. And it's trusting yourself in that, even though, so I'll be sitting there and recording and playing the guitar and I'll make mistakes and I will just, I've had to train myself to just keep going through those, like make the mistake,
don't stop,
keep going, because sometimes those are like the beautiful
magical moments.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I like that.
Yeah. Woo! So anyway, that's my little input about the happy accident. What's your happy accident, Tammy?
Oh, I am a happy accident. My whole life is a happy accident. I feel like the trusting of the process thing for me, like I have had like a tremendous amount of bumps on the pickle, as Mark calls them, which I think everybody has, right? We've all had bumps on the pickle. But one
that
of
is
the
just
things...
the weirdest thing I've ever heard. There's nothing more you can say to me that I won't just be thinking about.
You'll be thinking about the bumps on the pickle forever. Yes. yeah, that now I'm
thinking. Took you there, sorry. But you did it to yourself.
Yes, anyway. So, no, but I, like, when I think about all the things, one of the things that, like, has worked for me and that I think works for other people is to just accept that this is happening, but that there's something you can make out of this. So, like, the show that I have a show that just went up at the Healing Gallery mm-hmm. in Faribault at the District 1 Hospital. And it's basically a show of my prints that I've been doing. So I've been making these print blocks because...
This was my idea. I just want to take a little bit of credit for that for a second.
The Healing Arts Gallery?
Putting your art in that, putting your prints
yes.
in
the... Yes, yes, it was.
I did that.
Yes. That was also...
I'm a big part of your process.
You are a huge part of my process.
You're a part of everyone's process.
So many ways. Yes. So when I started doing these prints, which I started doing as a response to my inability to do my pottery because yeah. of my hands, you know, and all that stuff. But so when I was writing the artist statement, I was like, so this is why I'm doing this. And I used the line, you can't spell Tammy without TMI, because mm-hmm. I was talking about, like, okay, so, you know, I have this post-herpetic neuralgia because of the herpes virus, this shingles. Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
Like Tammy.
Because of the shingles. So it's called this.
Show's over, folks. Bless you Tammy. For being alive.
We're gonna have to cut this.
Okay, I'm okay.
Rich is writing it down.
So, anyway. Oh, my God. Okay. So I'm writing the artist statement about the, like, all this stuff that's been happening.
Jesus crying.
And my last line of the artist statement is that I have, like, I've been given some lemons, so this is my lemonade. Enjoy. So I have my lemonade hanging on the walls at the Healing Arts Gallery. Okay, I don't remember what my point was. What was my point? Oh, my God.
I am going to live longer because of that
so
joy you just brought into my
was,
life.
The point was that when you have lemons, you make lemonade. You know, so the bumps on the pickle. Nothing to do with the shingles.
The bumps on the pickle have everything to do with the shingles.
Oh man, now I'm going there. It's okay. It's fine.
Any hoozles.
I love you
so,
guys.
Thank you. I love you too.
Oh, God, that was funny. I need it
anyway, now. So God, there was a point. The point was. When you have something that slows you down or changes your direction or makes you do something else, it can still be good. You can still produce something that's good and fun and
not contagious.
Yes, all of that.
Oh my god. I'm just a mess. Okay. That was funny.
She pulls out she
this
just
is actually
pulled out
my this is my cloth that Lynn gave me to wipe my glasses, but it also works as a
And it looks Kleenex. Like men's underwear.
It looks like it dirty is. Men's underwear. But I carry it in my purse.
And you wipe your eyes
and
with
I wipe
it.
My eyes and I wipe it's my glasses lovely. With it and it makes me happy. So yeah.
Oh boy. If you're not laughing.
Yeah. So anyways.
I don't know if we can get beyond this.
I don't know if we can go beyond time. This.
No, we think we should.
Oh my God. So anyway, so that's what I have going on.
Is that those are the bumps on my pickle.
Those are bumps on my pickle.
So
yeah.
So you're both looking at me like,
oh my God,
give us some direction.
Ground you. Well, another thing I was excited to talk a little bit about the muse because the muse is part of the process for me. And it is like this elusive idea of you know, like, what is the muse? What does that mean? And especially people who maybe aren't artists. That's what I'm trying to say.
So do you believe in the muse or not believe in the muse?
I believe in the
muse. I have been the muse several times in my life.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Do you believe in the muse?
I don't.
You don't?
I do not believe in the muse.
Okay, this is really interesting.
Ooh.
Okay.
So tell me why.
Make a case for the muse.
Okay, the case for the muse. I don't know what the muse is. I wouldn't presume to say what or who or where or when or, you know. But I do. Well, and then now I'm going to say what I think it is, which partially is subconscious. So I think the muse is something for me that just kind of keeps... Rich, why do you always yawn really loud? No, it's okay. I'm just joking.
You can't be everybody's brand.
Sorry.
He's like a dog. He yawns because he's anxious.
Yeah.
We're making him anxious. Our producer is. Yeah. Like the dog.
I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Rich.
We're just teasing you. We don't take it
personal. Anyway, you were talking about the muse, Rich not being one of them.
I think it's just the muse to me is, you know, it's a big part of the process. I call it the muse. I don't know. But it is this, I feel like it's the subconscious kind of working in its, you know, doing its little wheels turning all the time.
So describe what that means to you. Because I think might mean something different to us.
What does the muse mean to me? It means when I am going through life and I stop suddenly with an idea that has been sparked from something. Maybe it's like an experience that I'm rehashing in my head, or it's other people's art, it's other people's music, it's my thoughts on other people's art and other people's music. And it spurs something. It spurs, well, most of the time for me, it spurs words, which then turn into a song.
Like a focus for inspiration.
Yes. And it's always for me, and I might just be weird. I don't know. It's like this kind of head tilting thing. Like I stop completely and I go, huh. And then I start kind of actualizing and realizing and trying to make sense of what my brain is putting together. Mm-hmm. And so that whole process, that's kind of the spur of the process for me. And then I come and go from it for a long time. So there might be like different parts, different pieces that I've captured throughout my life. You're looking at me like I'm insane.
No, I'm just thinking about the whole
yes. situation. There's a different
what inspires us. And
So there are different pieces that I kind of like. And so I set this one aside and then I think about something else and then I pull something from the old one. And it is about the process. Mm-hmm. And it's to me, it feels like something separate from myself. I'm not saying that it is, you know.
So do you think, would you equate like muse with like inspiration?
Yeah, I wouldn't equate it.
Okay.
I think the muse is like another step further. It's kind of like your own voice. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like taking inspiration and creating something through your own voice.
Okay.
To me, that's... And it feels like it's something new or you're saying something different or you're just putting things in your own perspective. So I don't know if that makes sense. It's just...
I think when I think of a muse, I think of something different than what you're describing. When I think of a muse, I think of something external that is like kind of whispering in your ear that this is like Jessica saying, ooh, try this. Yes, yeah. Here she goes.
Yeah, sure. Like,
try this.
See,
do
once
this.
Again, I am the muse.
You are the muse.
And I guess that the reason I equate it with that is because it feels like something different. Like in those like pure moments of making art, like what you were talking about just earlier today, is like you looked down and it was 10 o'clock and when you looked up it was 11:45 and you thought 5 minutes had passed. In those moments It's like you're not quite sure where it's coming from or what's going on, or even paying attention. You get like this strange focus. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the muse is part of that because it feels like it's not me. It
like
feels
it's
like
over your body.
I'm somewhere else or in some other part of my brain, or, you know, so that's, I guess, why I label it that.
What do you label it?
So actually, I was reading something the other day where they were talking about that phenomena, the flow. Mm-hmm. Some people call it the flow. Some people call it like, there was some technical term for like people who have a difficulty with time. And I can't remember exactly how it went, but it was something about, it was basically the flow. You know, the flow is basically when people talk about that you get so into your art that you get hyper-focused and then time just escapes. And I don't know, apparently there's been some studies about people who process time differently, that that time has a different meaning. So again, like Jessica was saying this morning about that she went into and started working on something and she's like, I just got to get this piece of jewelry done and I got to do this thing now and I just got to get it done. And then the next thing she knows, it's 3 hours later. And that I think is like, I think of that as the process. And I experienced that a lot, which was why this morning, and I have a hard time doing it when I have something else I know I have to do, because I know that if I start something, if I go into my studio and I start working, that's it. Like, I have to set my alarm to let me know when it's time to stop doing that activity, or I will not have any idea what time it is.
Yeah.
So it's like when I'll be working in my studio and Marv will come down and say, hey, it's 10 o'clock. Are you ready to go to bed? And I say, I'll be up in a minute. And he says, is that a wrestler minute? Meaning it could be hours.
Yeah.
Because the wrestler minute is however long it takes. And I have no concept of time. So like today, this morning, even I was like, okay, I got to make breakfast and I got to do this. And now it's 9 o'clock and I have to be out of here by noon. So I can't really start anything, because if I start anything, I only have 2.5-3 hours to work on it. And I will just feel like I have just started and I will have to pack up and stop doing it, and I can't do it.
Yeah.
And I think that that kind of flow and that kind of like hyper focus and that working on things, which I think actually is pretty recognizable to people who get into that thing. I know because I've read about them that there are other people who don't experience that, who can actually stop doing things when
and
they
come
start
back.
And they can just be like, oh, look at the clock. It's, you know, 2 o'clock. I got to stop and do something at 2:30. And there are actually people who can do that. I was pretty amazed to find out that that was a thing.
It's called high functioning.
Oh, yes. I did not
Responsible high functioning adults.
Yeah, I have to set alarms and I have to do like multiple alarms, not just one alarm. I have to literally set multiple alarms.
I have to remember to set an alarm. See, I can't even get that to that step because I'm already like 3 hours in on a project and I didn't even know what happened.
You have to have the Echo Dot remind you every day.
I just need someone to follow me around.
And I have already been doing that and it isn't working out the way you thought.
That's what that weird sound is outside my window every night.
It is. That's why your car keeps getting stolen. Just so you know. Also, you need to get your oil changed.
Thanks. Thanks. I thought maybe you'd just do that for me since you're using my car so much.
No.
Without my permission.
Sometimes I leave it in Minneapolis.
Sometimes you rip the steering column out.
I have ripped the steering column out. It's really been a pain, but I do what I have to do. But yeah.
So you say that you don't believe in a muse. So like, explain that.
So because when I think of a muse, I think of like, you know, Renaissance painters who's like, oh, this model was my muse.
Yeah.
And she's, you know. So what I think of is like somebody like, I guess they don't have to be super attractive in my world. Probably they wouldn't be. But, like, you know.
I don't know. I'm sitting right here.
Sorry. Sorry. Dang it.
Flustered you. Sorry.
Yeah. No, but, like, when I think of a muse, I think of, like, somebody who is, like, ever-present or something that is omnipresent that spurs you into always being in a creative mode, which is not
like, against your will, even
against your will even. Mm. And for me, what works as doing all the creative things against my will is literally going and doing the things yeah. against my will. Like, gotcha. I now have to go down to my studio and I have to open this bag of clay, or I have to. And sometimes I like literally just do not want to do it.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love my job and I mm-hmm. love like all the different things I get to do and I mm-hmm. have fun and I love the kids and all this kind yeah. of stuff. But sometimes I don't want to.
Yeah.
So I don't want to.
So it's kind of about just jumping in and getting yeah. your
sometimes
feet
it is.
Wet.
Sometimes you're really excited about going down yeah. there and working on the next thing and you've got this brilliant yeah. idea and inspiration has hit.
So what's the pressure to do it if you don't want to?
There's something in me that is just like, just get in there and do it. Pull up your big girl panties and go do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
to what end?
Literally, because I can't not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There is no end. There is nothing besides the fact that I have to do it. And mm-hmm. I think, okay, so I feel like I probably have some OCD tendencies, you know, like my mom has OCD, my family, it runs in my family, we all are OCD or whatever. But I feel like that might be for me. Like, some people are like, oh, I just have to be creative and I have to be an artist because I'm an artist in my soul. And I feel like this is probably something that I could be getting disability from the government.
Because, yeah. Seriously. My, a yeah. lot of my art, and this is like stupid, maybe like wah-wah to say, but like, I would say like art is a trauma response for me.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Like today I was stressed about coming here. Mm-hmm. And so my natural response, not because I don't love doing this, but just the yeah. know, pressure of doing it. My response was to start this ring that I am like 80% through that putting it down and coming here to do this was like painful,
you know,
because
actually,
I wanted to stay there doing that.
It's interesting you say that because I feel like I think that is a really interesting point because I feel like sometimes I go and do stuff because I want that feeling of losing time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a drug.
It is a drug. It is. It's like because I can go and I can work in my studio and just like
you're free. Everything, totally free.
Yep. Everything is out.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
my brain
a meditative thing.
Out.
It's mm-hmm. I say that about the soldering and the fire, mm-hmm. working with fire and something that like you could injure yourself. Like people that do like free solo climbing on the sides of sheer cliffs, you know, they do it for the adrenaline. It's kind of that. It's
that's not going to happen.
Well, I'm not saying
we're never doing that.
We're never doing that. But side note, my daughter was asking me the other day, would you ever get paid $1,000 an hour to clean a glass bridge over a 1,000-foot ravine? And I don't know how that relates to what you were just saying, but she was asking and I was like, yes, for $1,000 an hour, I would put myself on
I would have
clear
to really
glass over
a
1,000 feet.
I would have to think hard
and
about
scrub.
That. I'd probably eventually do it, but I would have to think really hard about it because even Eleanor Roosevelt, with all of that, she would not want me doing that.
No,
she would say,
she'd
don't
be
do
like,
that.
Don't do that thing that you think you cannot do. Don't do it. Yeah, it's yeah. not good for
you're
you.
Going to fall off the bridge.
Yeah. I $1,000 an hour.
There are days when I'm hungry enough for that.
And, you know, it's sort of like, speaking of cliffs and things like that, do you ever just like, metaphorically or physically get to the cliff edge and think, I'm going to have to throw myself off of this.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much every major decision I've ever made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're just like, well, here I am.
Except for the kid. That was made for me. Mm-hmm. Well, sort of.
Well, sort of. There was a point that was your decision.
Yeah.
And then there was a point
where she showed up.
Yeah, and we're glad she did because yeah, now yeah. she's going to pay you $1,000 to apparently clean some glass
I'll take half.
Bridge.
I'll just keep half.
Is there a glass bridge?
There's a glass bridge. I think it's in China. And somebody gets paid $1,000 an hour to mop the bridge.
Your daughter has a
other.
Really interesting way of looking at life that I think will serve her well.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Can't break that spirit.
No. It's going to be interesting. And I yeah, that's not going to happen, the whole bridge thing.
Okay. All right. So...
So, tell us about your hustle.
Oh, boy. Well, right now it's just surviving the cold, dark, yeah. late winter, early spring months.
I'm not digging the cold.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was thinking. So Meredith tells me yesterday that her family has inherited land in Fiji.
Oh, it's like swampland.
It doesn't matter.
It's not,
I'm like, why aren't we in Fiji right now?
Like,
treehouse.
Like
whatever.
Swampland
in
like
Fiji.
It's like half an
beats.
Acre of swampland.
Survivor was filmed there, apparently.
I know.
Do we need our passports?
I'm dropping that little bit of knowledge on the general public about your life. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
I broke
fine.
That story.
That's fine.
So we could be.
We
like,
could. We could. If we don't
surviving,
mind bugs and snakes and
yeah, Tammy's out.
I'm out. I'm
yep.
Out. Yeah.
Even though she's got every wild creature in the neighborhood coming to her house for food and shelter.
Yeah, but not scorpions and snakes and bugs and stuff.
Yeah.
Bugs. Yeah, bugs. Yes.
Anyway, we yeah. could be. So yeah, my hustle is just trying to keep my. Speaking of the process, part of the process is just saying forget it to the process and like not putting the pressure on yourself and just living
get through the
survive the point where you just feel like you're overwhelmed. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I think that is the process though. Mm-hmm. Is you just have to keep going.
And yeah. in there I made a really cool ring today, or I'm mm-hmm. trying to, but you guys bothered me with
hey, if we can stress you out enough to have yeah. you produce fabulous jewelry, then our job is done.
You guys practiced that. So yeah, that's me. What about you?
Well, so I want to make a body of work of bodies. That is mm-hmm. actually a goal that I have been percolating in my brain for a little while. So I have, because the Healing Arts Gallery it's such an interesting venue
mm-hmm.
That like, so for Straight River Arts, one of the things that we do is we do this Healing Arts Gallery, and so we are looking for artists
if anyone's listening.
Yeah, you can go to info@straightriverarts.org and tell us that you would like to have a little gallery show. It's very low pressure, you hang stuff. But one of the things that I think about when I think about that is that like the bodies that I do, I think would be really cool in that space
mm-hmm.
because first of all, it's a really wide hallway. So I think there's room for things to stick off the wall, like 4 inches, which is about as far as my body stick off of the wall for the most part. But also because they are like representative of all of the different bodies that go in and out of a hospital,
mm-hmm.
which then makes me think about all of the different things that happen to people. And, you know, like,
and she carves into these torsos just to give people a little bit more like visual for their imaginations. Like you carve themes into these. Mm-hmm. Torsos.
Yeah, they're clay. So I take clay, different kinds of clay, because I have like too many kinds of clay in my studio and I like to try them all. And then I put them over a form that I had poured. I poured a plaster form of this like shirt form that I stole from a show that I did. Okay, they kind of left it behind and I didn't try and find who owned it because I wanted mm-hmm. it. So I was like, oh, is any,
these
is
things
this,
happen.
Does this belong to anybody? No? Okay, good. So I took it. And so I put clay over it, and then I like carve stuff. And I do like having a theme. And so, like we talked about before, where you have themes. I like doing themes because I think that it's like my muse is a mm-hmm. theme. No, I like to think about different themes. So like all the things that can happen to a body. So years ago, I did that show at the Paradise, and I did all these big bodies in Raku, and most of the bodies were pregnant in some stage of pregnancy. Some of them were barely pregnant. Some of them were like ready to go. But because I had a theme, I was able to kind of play with like ideas
mm-hmm.
and different like sayings and things like that with different tools and whatever. And it was really fun. And
I think you should do that.
It's so like one of the things that I think is like, when things are really cold and dark and gloomy, like they are right now in February, and January was kind of the same thing. Sometimes what's fun is to just like think up a new idea that you think will allow you to do the flow, that will allow you to go down into your studio and just stop thinking about all mm-hmm. of the gloomy darkness and cold weather and all that kind of stuff, that you can just do the things
mm-hmm.
and that's what I want to do. So my hustle is really, while I have sort of a goal and I'm thinking about like maybe I can get a grant to learn some new skills that will allow me to work around some of the problems that are happening with my hands and stuff like that, I also just kind of want to do something that will entertain me. Mm-hmm. What about you, Meredith? What is your thing?
So right now I've got a little side project that I'm doing for money, which is just basically digitizing a bunch of old photos, like antique, like family photos of, for a family. They've got thousands of them. So right now I'm in the process of trying to figure out, oh, is it better to take a high resolution photograph of them, or is it better to take a high resolution scan? Or so I'm kind of figuring out that process. And so that's one thing I'm doing. And the other thing I'm doing is the last scene for my video, Alice in the Reel. So we're creating the set for that, and we're going to be filming it very soon. So then I can finish something.
Yay!
So, yeah.
And it'll go on her website.
And it will go on my website.
Well, both of those things sound really interesting.
Yeah.
Super fun.
Thank you.
So what do we want to do next time?
What did we say we were going to do? We're going to do misconceptions about artists, entrepreneurs, and other high-functioning, mentally ill people.
I think that will be good.
I think you'll be perfect for that.
I agree. I have recently diagnosed myself with ADD, and I'm feeling pretty good about my therapeutic, also self-therapeutic, the things that I'm now going to do to try and help that, which just is more of the same things I've been doing.
Mushrooms?
No, I can't do that stuff. My brain is too sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not condoning the use of mushrooms.
Of course you're not.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we hope to have you tune in next time.
We need like a slogan or like a
slow keep it snappy.
I don't know.
Can we harmonize something?
Yes.
Or not.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for listening. And we hope you join us again next time on The Naked Artist.
Bye.